النظام السابق نظام استبدادي دكتاتوري فاشي، لم يكن يؤمن بالحرية ولا بحقوق الإنسان.
كنا نتمنى أن يحرر العراق بيد عراقية، والسيد محمد باقر الحكيم كان يؤكد هذا المعنى، نريد أن نسقط صدام بأيدينا.
عادت الشوارع، عادت الأسواق، طلعت القوات الأجنبية، سيطرنا على الطرقات، هذه كلها ما كانت تعود لولا هذا الجهد الذي بذلناه.
Saddam Hussein من إجه وصار.
When Saddam Hussein became the president of Iraq, he gave people many lands and lots of facilities and raised their salaries. That's why people liked him very much.
زودوا الراتب هذه الشعب قام يحبه قام حتى بعد.
The war between Iran and Iraq inflicted lots of problems on the country. Economic blockades were imposed on the country and people began to show dissatisfaction because they had gone hungry. During that time, I had a meeting with the authorities. I had a sharp tongue and I was quite straightforward. I was talking about the pain and the misery the Iraqi people had been through during that time. I wanted to show Saddam Hussein how disastrous the condition was, but he got really angry because of what I said. There were 30 to 40 famous clerics in that meeting, and none of them was eager to talk about the problems during those days.
Everyone who was against Saddam Hussein's ideas could face death, execution or torture. The situation continued until the time we were scared of talking about anything.
One could be damned if he were against Saddam Hussein's ideas. Even the closest person to this dictator could not disagree with his ideas.
People gradually felt they had no other options but to embrace the Ba'ath Party and its head, Saddam Hussein.
We shouldn't forget that nobody was safe from this cruelty, even members of his own party. In the beginning, the dissenters would be killed by terror tactics, but after a while, mass executions started to take place instead.
The most important thing was the fact that if anyone wanted to have his own rights, he would be jailed, killed, or prosecuted. Therefore, the Iraqi people felt that they were not on planet Earth. They used to think their planet was in another orbit.
One million of our brave soldiers were killed in a war against our neighbor, Iran. Hundreds of people were killed in a war against Kuwait, which was a supporter of the regime. Thousands of our brave soldiers were killed in that war. The road to Basra had become notorious because of many bodies and war machines lying there. In Intifada, more than 3,000 people were killed in the center and south of Iraq, and 100,000 people were displaced.
The images of cutting of hands and heads, throwing people off the roofs, beating people to death, prosecuting and executing scientists, killing innocent people, considering people's lives worthless, wasting natural resources, invading other countries, using the army against the Kurdish movement and other neighboring countries.
It is enough to see events like the Al-Anfal campaign in the year 1987, in which, almost after the war between Iran and Iraq, 182,000 Kurd civilians were exterminated. These are not only my memories. These memories of a cruel tyranny in history belong to all Iraqis. I mean, if you add up the number of victims that were killed by the Ba'ath Party from the years between 1968 and 2003, in battles inside or outside the country, the victims of executions, the number of infants and the old people, men and women from different tribes, militants and civilians from the north to the south, you will get a terrifying figure. Those victims didn't only belong to a certain race or tribe. However, most of them were Shia or Kurd, resided in the center and the south of Iraqi Kurdistan. Also, lots of victims were from the western parts of Iraq, mostly Turks, Sunnis, Christians, and Sabaeans.
In fact, we were suffering from the cruelty of a dictatorship which brought destruction to us. We had to obey whatever we were told. They were the ones who were always right about everything. Nobody could disagree with them. This had become a common belief that nobody should disagree.
When I came to justice, Saddam was only just about one thing. He justly distributed cruelty all over Iraq, Tikrit city included. Almost 160 people from that city were executed, most of whom were militants.
من أبنائها معظمهم من العسكريين.
وهو الذي
He was the pioneer of mass graves and operations like the Al Anfal campaign, and he executed a mass of people together in one time. He invaded our neighboring countries and was a threat to international peace and our neighbors' interests. History has been ignorant of the Romans, the Abbasid and the Umayyad dictators, but now the media has shown horrifying images of Saddam Hussein to people. The images are still kept in archive.
We shouldn't forget that the regime was one of the most ferocious systems ever in history. I don't think we have had any regime more savage than Saddam Hussein's after World War II. They were born criminals chosen by foreigners to manipulate Iraq's destiny. When they got the control of Iraq, this country was one of the strongest in the region, but after the US occupation, the country was pushed to the edge of bankruptcy, famine, and poverty.
We were hopeful to overthrow Saddam Hussein on our own. Ayatollah Mohammed Baqir al-Hakim insisted on this point and said others could help us to achieve it, but we didn't want the U.S. or any other foreign power to topple the regime.
The released images of foreign armies on Iraqi soil were saddening, especially the American troops and Marines.
More than 160,000 American troops and more than 3 million war machines were marching in Iraq. The biggest army in the history of U.S. and the contemporary world was that of the U.S. and its allies gathered in Iraq. We had never seen such a thing in history.
After years of suffering and pain that Iraqis had endured, foreigners occupied Iraq to free the people from the military tyranny. Without doubt, the Americans occupied Mesopotamia. After World War II, the number of their troops became three times bigger than the one that occupied Vietnam and six times bigger than the army that invaded Afghanistan. The Americans would leave some of their troops there.
According to a treaty by the Security Council, Iraq was ruled internationally and a military commander was chosen for that purpose, and that was annoying.
According to the UN, Iraq was considered an occupied country, and announcing that was no secret.
In the beginning, the country was occupied and Iraqi forces were commanded by the American army. A year before the Americans left the country, General Petros and after him, General Austin were chiefs in command. It meant that Iraq was ruled by UN laws and the Iraqis were not in control. Iraq was an occupied country with squads of American soldiers marching on its streets.
They destroyed the infrastructure of the country. America only preserved the Ministry of Oil.
Iraqis felt the burden of U.S. troops' presence in their country. 160,000 soldiers were not in their camps, but instead they were present on the streets, squares, deserts, and roads. They were responsible for order, and they were in control.
After all, these army squads would disturb the normal life.
The inhumane and barbaric crimes of Saddam Hussein continued for 3 decades, and that prompted the foreigners to invade the ancient country of Iraq. They spread chaos and fanned the flames of racism and hatred among tribes. Their troops were all over the country, but they didn't care that much about the country.
We've passed the year 2006, yet we can still feel the darkness of those days. We can remember the bodies scattered all over the streets. Every day, tens of headless bodies were found in the Tigris. Spate of bombings would happen everywhere. For example, 23 car bombings happened in one single day.
How is that possible to be the prime minister of a country when the foreigners are fully in control of security and organizations? The country was torn apart, roads were closed, Baghdad was besieged, and there were no pedestrians on the streets. Malls were empty as if they were dead. In the beginning, we went to Karh and Rusafa by helicopter. From above, I could only see a woman walking alone on the streets. That area changed into a silent cemetery. Those saddening scenes made me cry. Because of terrorism and occupation, Baghdad changed into this.
It seemed Iraq was not going to be safe and secure anymore. The constitution was torn apart, since it was the foreigners who had a say about everything. Foreigners, by their presence, would not allow anyone to control Iraq. How can the governors be in control in that condition?
Despite unmentioned facts, the very fact that people could see the foreigners' armies on the streets could make them feel hopeless and not in control of their own country. The presence of foreigners would make them feel they have no control over political, military, and security issues.
In the year 2006, there was some doubt about Iraq's potency to negotiate with the Americans. Nobody thought that the withdrawal plan could occur so fast. Everyone thought that the American troops would stay in Iraq for a longer time.
In the years 2004, 2006, 2007, and 2008, I was in the Ministry of Interior. We had no weapon but simple rifles. We started to buy weapons from the market, weapons such as RPG or PKC, or even heavier weapons. Those weapons were immediately confiscated by the Americans. Only the AK-47 was allowed, an old gun which would jam and fight between police forces and terrorists. Without good weapons, it was hard to prepare the troops and get them focused. When a country is occupied, normally the security and political decisions will be made by the occupiers.
محتلة ودولة المحتلة هي الحاكمة تؤثر في القرار العسكري تؤثر في القرار الأمني تؤثر في القرار السياسي.
Everything was on the verge of chaos. It was hard to control the country with all those occupiers. But did the Americans withdraw from where they had occupied in the past? Would they leave a rich country like Iraq like that? Had they come a long way and crossed the oceans to reach Mesopotamia just to help the Iraqis? Would they leave empty-handed? Could only negotiations be the last solution to achieve Iraq's interests?
Actually, according to the rumors, the Americans wanted to leave some of their troops behind. There are strategic bases in the region that are important to the U.S., like Balad Air Base or Al-Assad Base in the western areas, or any other places. But in the agreement, there was no article mentioning that the U.S. troops had to stay in the democratic Iraq.
ليس فيها ما يشير إلى وجود القوات بقاء قوات أمريكية على أراضي جمهورية العراق.
American occupiers wanted impunity to do their limitless operations. They wanted to have some bases in the region, but the Iraqi nation was asking what should be done to get rid of these cruel occupiers.
أولاً هي ليست اتفاقية أمنية، إنما هي اتفاقية الانسحاب الأمريكي من العراق.
First off, I have to say this is not a security agreement. This is a withdrawal plan because in a security agreement, some of the troops and the bases have to remain in the region. I was one of the people who participated to draft the withdrawal plan, a unique agreement in the region that never happened before. We insisted on the fact that it has to be a withdrawal plan and it had to indicate a time schedule for the Americans to leave. In fact, the term withdrawal had to be the first term used in the agreement. Actually, it was the withdrawal plan, not the plan for them to stay.
The withdrawal agreement only happened in Iraq because there are American troops around the country. We can see the presence of American troops in more than 130 countries. On December 15, 2011, the last American soldiers left Iraq. Only 159 of the militants remained. That means Iraq was the only country who could force the Americans out.
فانسحاب القوات الأمريكية من الساحة العراقية ومن الأرض العراقية وخروجها.
The withdrawal of American troops brought grace back to Iraq. They felt that they were in control of their own country, and that made them trust Iraq more and more.
وبالتالي هذا يعزز الثقة بالوطن ويعزز الثقة بالبلد. وأيضاً تأثيرها على المجتمع العراقي هي جعلت.
It also made society to be united. In fact, lots of people wanted to fight the Americans, and the rest viewed the situation as a political battle. There was another group who was of the opinion that there had to be no battle against the Americans. Iraq was not united in dealing with this issue.
Some of the Iraqis were affected by the doctrine of resistance, and when the occupiers left the country, the idea of resistance perished. The ones who were killing militants, police forces, and mounting attacks were in fact targeting the Iraqis. So after the U.S. withdrawal, there was no excuse for terrorism.
There wasn't any reason to have terrorists among social groups in Iraq. Now our concern was what to do after the occupiers had left our country. In my idea, the withdrawal of American troops was a big change.
When the country is not occupied anymore, it can be in full control to deal with all security, military, economic, and political cases.
There is a principle. Political independence cannot be gained without economic independence, and this works both ways. Therefore, a five-year plan would not work when the country is occupied. The first five-year plan the government considered to conduct was the one that was about to come into effect in the year 2005 and continue to 2010.
Iraq's independence after the U.S. withdrawal is the key to its future progress. The Americans don't occupy a land without having a base in it, but the Iraqis fought off the biggest contemporary occupational plot.
Frankly saying, the withdrawal agreement was beneficial to the Iraqis and the whole region. Because of the last 8 to 10 years, it's been proven that when American goes to a country, it won't leave it. Countries like Japan, Germany, North and South Korea, and many other countries. They stayed in Germany for almost 50 years, and after that, it has still its own bases there. But in this agreement, the U.S. is required to withdraw quickly and completely from Iraq. Approximately 150,000 troops, plus war machines, planes, and weapons were moved out. Moreover, there were some effort in intelligence operations, and there were intelligence forces with them. Aside from the matters on the ground, there were 5 logistic forces for each American soldier. Thus, in total, there were approximately 600,000 forces. In addition, by signing the agreement, many American and European intelligence forces were forced to move out.
ليس هناك في الاتفاقية ما يدعو إلى وجود قواعد عسكرية. ليس هناك في الاتفاقية مادة تشير.
There is no article in the agreement about the presence of American bases. There is no article about the presence of even one American soldier except for training Iraqi forces or cooperating with them, and this only happens with the permission of the Iraqi government. There is no article about any American base, airport, or even 1 meter of land for them to be in. There is no immunity for American soldiers, officers, and workers on Iraq soil. Everything was under the control of Iraqi judiciary. There is no immunity for anyone. This agreement was designed based upon certain principles to force the Americans to leave Iraq on 30th of December 2011. The government, with complete bravery, accepted the responsibility to sign the agreement, and therefore, this was achieved by the government. Unfortunately, other parties refused to help neither in writing the draft nor in counseling us. When the agreement was taken to the parliament for voting, some groups disagreed with it. Nobody expected the Americans' withdrawal. The world was witnessing the withdrawal of 160,000 troops and 3 million war machines in 6 months. This was the biggest withdrawal in the history of the world and the United States.
عسكرية في غضون 6 أشهر في انسحاب وصفوه هو أكبر انسحاب عسكري في تاريخ العالم، ليس في تاريخ الولايات المتحدة فقط.
The security agreement was the result of Iraqi people's effort to free themselves from the occupiers. The withdrawal of the occupiers happened perfectly.
I have to say this explicitly. Iraq has achieved full control and grace once again. It's controlled by a government from people, and its prime minister is Nouri al-Maliki. Iraq now has a constant membership in international affairs and has its own say. This is a privilege. The presence of Americans and its harms to Iraq and the countries in the region have perished. This agreement stopped the Americans' presence in the region and prevented another war.
شبح وجود قوات أمريكية في المنطقة أو وجود حرب أخرى أيضا في المنطقة.
Because of the people's brave stance and political awareness of the governors, Iraq returned to the arms of its loyal nation. This testifies to the grace of Iraqis and their ability to coexist with countries all around the world. This shows the determination of a country that is looking for a bright future after dark times, a country that waits for the sun to rise over Mesopotamia.
كانت قوات أجنبية على الأرض العراقية وتصول وتجول وتحكم وتأمر وتنهى. انتهت.
Foreigners were roaring and dominating on the soil of Iraq. The markets were dead and without soul. But now they're on their feet. The streets were empty. Fear was all over them. Now they are crowded. Streets and markets came back to life and foreigners are gone. Iraq has achieved its true place as a respectable country. There used to be only 12 or 13 embassies. But there are 75 embassies right now. Our income from oil sources has returned to 3.5 million barrels a day. The turnover has increased from $25 billion to $120 billion.
متواضعة إلى 3.5 مليون برميل يوميا. عادت موازنتنا من 25 مليار إلى 120 مليار.
All of this happened because of our hard work. The government is still working, despite all the difficulties, and this shows its dominance. The government is busy building the country. If there weren't such problems, we could be a pioneer in the realm of economy.
حضارة وتاريخ عريق بلد
Iraq is a historic city with its own civilization. This is the land of Enkidu, Hammurabi, Assyria, Imam Ali, and Ahlul Bayt. The shrines of six Imams and their descendants are located in Iraq. We have to spread peace and security. Iraq has to be one of important countries in the region, and also it has to attract capital and kindness of the other countries.
We are one of the founders of the UN. We are also one of the founders of the League of Arab States.
A highly cultivated nation with cultural heritage whose origins go back thousands of years. It was beginning to thrive when a dictator showed up and ruined everything and created bitter memories.
I assume there has been no regime more savage than that of Saddam Hussein anywhere in the world after World War I. We shouldn't forget that this regime was one of the cruelest regimes in contemporary history.
I believe Iraqis will never forget the pain because it's truly unforgettable. The sad memories of this wicked regime who ruled Iraq for 30 years will be passed down from generation to generation.
His legacy was interwoven with terror, destruction, and murder. Our nation will never forget that. Saddam's wicked regime was drinking people's blood, and it built its palaces from the significant wealth of this nation.
These are natural-born criminals who have been chosen by the foreigners to manipulate Iraq's destiny. When they got the ascendancy, Iraq was one of the most powerful countries in the region. And because of what they did, Americans occupied and destroyed Iraq. They pushed the country towards the edge of bankruptcy, famine, and poverty.
Without doubt, the countless and ferocious crimes of Saddam Hussein gave the Americans, whose history is no more than 200 years old, an excuse to occupy Iraq, which has a rich history. The multinational Euphrates base belonged to the Americans, the Dutch, and the Spaniards. Almost 10,000 soldiers were present in the city. American planes affected this place. They flew near the temple. They moved 8 planes to the area. They entered from here, near this statue of a lion. The Marines were also there. They put their equipment here. Their Hummers and other war equipment were on the other side near the lion. After that, they made their bases behind this building. The base was near the temple, and the airport was 100 meters away from the temple. In 2004, an American woman officer desecrated this place. When she entered this place, she picked up a stone which had a cuneiform script carved on it. I told her that the stone was our history, not theirs. And they had no history. She insulted me and I retorted. The day after, I was arrested and put into a cell with my hands tied. I think it was Hilla. Then they transferred me to Al-Diwaniyah, and after that to the center of Abu Ghraib. The people were facing the occupiers who came to their land with the excuse to free them, but after that, they didn't want to leave Iraq.
We were not able to enter the Al-Khadra neighborhood. Is that possible when the streets are full of blood and beheaded bodies lying there because of the explosions? The relatives of the dead bodies would not come after them for fear that they might lose their own lives. After seeing the children's IDs, militias would kill them because they didn't want those kids to grow up and become Shiite or Sunni. How would you imagine the future considering that situation?
Before occupying Iraq, America imposed every sort of sanctions on it. Despite the withdrawal agreement and the fact that Iraq had to become independent after the withdrawal, Iraqis were carrying the burden of pressures and blockades.
In fact, the security agreement had some important points and benefits. The most important one was the withdrawal of Iraq from Article 7.
The fact that Iraq had to obey Article 7 was because of the bold actions of the old dictator for invading Kuwait and pushing Iraq into a world of war that had nothing to do with Iraq.
Article 7 is a sort of punishment for the people and the government of Iraq because the previous regime, which is deposed now, started a war against Iran and Kuwait, yet Iraqis paid the ultimate price first.
استمرار وضع إن صح التعبير العراق تحت البند السابق.